The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings," and they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please have a seat. There is a pretty ridiculous but sometimes very funny show. It's a BBC show from Scotland called Limmy's World. And I saw one short skit that begins with the narrator, Limmy, asking a question. I'm not very good at Scottish, so I won't try to do a good accent or anything, but I have a question for you. Which is heavier, a kilogram of steel or a kilogram of feathers? And then a little clock appears on the screen and ticks off the seconds. And after a minute, he gives the answer. That's right, a kilogram of steel, because steel is heavier than feathers. And the rest of the episode is Limmy in utter confusion as everybody tries to explain to him that a kilogram of steel and a kilogram of feathers weigh the same because they're both a kilogram, which is a weight. They even show him a huge scale, perfectly balanced, with a little hunk of steel over here and a huge bag of feathers over here. And even then, he doesn't get it. He says, "That doesn't prove anything. Steel is still heavier than feathers. And look at the size of this." Pointing to the feathers, he says, "That's cheating." And it's really funny if I'm not telling you when you actually see it. But the point is this. We have a hard time recognizing the real weight and solidity of something if we don't think of it as a weighty thing. So today, when we read Matthew's description of the coming of this angel that the two Marys met at the tomb, Matthew tells us there was an earthquake because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat on it. This is not the same earthquake that we read about at the time of Jesus' death on the cross when the earth convulsed at the enormity of the death of Christ, and the curtain of the temple tore in two, and the graves around Jerusalem opened, and the dead were shaken back to life and walked into the city. That was an amazing earthquake. But this was something different. This was another kind of earthquake altogether, caused by the approach, the coming of a creature who was so solidly real, so enormously heavy, that when he arrived and rolled back the stone and sat on it, the ground shook from his weight. It sounds a lot more like a giant than we normally imagine when we think of an angel. I think most of us have kind of fluffy, frilly images of angels. We think of them as these glorious creatures of light with feathery wings and diaphanous robes. And our images are sometimes a lot more like fairies than giants. But here's our real Easter angel at the tomb. And we find that he's not at all fairy-like, but he's so frighteningly real that he had to reassure the women, don't be afraid. And if you look at the Bible very much, angels are having to say that all the time. They're big, they're scary, they're intimidating, but they're good. We're so used to thinking of reality in terms of the visible creation around us that we're just used to, that we're very prone to thinking of everything else in the realm of the almost make-believe, even the things of our faith, even the things of the spirit that are the source and foundation of our very life. This week, this past week, as we contemplated the passion of Jesus Christ, we were fully, awfully aware of the weight of his humanity. It is easy for us to imagine the agony of the whips and thorns and the crushing weight of the cross. It's almost too real and weighty for us to hear about the nails that pierced his hands and feet and the sword that pierced his side. And we're terribly, sorrowfully aware of the weight of his dead body as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took it carefully down from the cross and carried it between them and laid it in the tomb. But this morning, Easter morning, in the chill and gloom before dawn on the first day of that week, here comes the angel giant who, sitting down, shook the earth. And what about Jesus? We can't make the mistake that his friends made when they first saw him. They thought he was a ghost. Of course I'm not a ghost, he reassured them. Touch me. Feel my bones and my flesh. Do I feel like a ghost? He ate with them. He built a charcoal fire on the beach. In Cleopas' house at Emmaus, he sat with them and he held the loaf of bread and he broke it and shared it with them. He was as solid and as real as the carpenter's son turned teacher that they had known for 3 years. But he was so different, so changed, that even his close friends had a hard time recognizing him at first. The one thing he was not was a filmy, glowing, spectral version of his former self. He wasn't even a radiant, glorious, spiritual version of his old human self. He wasn't less human or real in any way. He was more real. He was more solid. He was more alive than any human being had ever been. There's a book, a very good book, by C.S. Lewis, as all books by C.S. Lewis are good. It's called The Great Divorce. And the story is about a bus trip from hell to heaven. And all the people on the bus have the option of staying in heaven or going back to hell after their visit. And the really brilliant thing, or one of the brilliant things, about the way Lewis describes heaven is that everything is excruciatingly real in heaven. The blades of grass are so real there, so solid, that the hell dwellers can hardly walk on it. Heaven is more real than anything they've ever experienced. And that, I believe with all my heart, is the truth of the resurrected Christ. That the risen body of Jesus, that glorified body that is the first fruits of the bodies we will all have when our Lord returns to heal and to restore everything, the body that is now in the presence of God the Father, that is more solid and weighty than anything we can even begin to imagine. The Jesus that we worship today and every day, is fully God, and yet amazingly, he is still fully and permanently human flesh. He is God's real creation made everlastingly and unshakably real. And so today we say, Alleluia, the Lord is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.